Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I said it earlier, it's such a joy to be gathered together on a night like tonight in this place. I imagine that there are more than a few who are here tonight visiting us at Grace for the first time. There are probably extended family members from out of town. This is certainly not the year to travel. My nephew is stuck in Minneapolis. They left at 4 o'clock this morning from their home, and they're in Kentucky, and we don't know when they're going to get here. But you're most welcome to this place, because we too are your family of faith. And we come together to recount once again that most blessed of births, God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior from sin and death. What is it about Christmas that beckons us home with such longing? I think it's to know joy again. There's joy in singing the familiar Christmas songs and hymns. There's joy in hearing that old story that never seems to grow old. There's joy in giving and receiving gifts at Christmas. And there's joy in the anticipation of the Christmas feast. Meats, pies, eggnog, chocolate. Love, family, feasting, longing, home. The Lord invented it all. Why else would you travel so far to get it? I don't think it's going too far to say that tonight, in this place, tonight joy is calling you. God is calling you to hear again how much He loves you. But as you listen, you may find that joy comes with a rather strange twist tonight. The joy you'll find here isn't really about your family gathered together, but about Jesus' family, huddled in a stable, and eventually standing at the foot of a cross. But if you listen with a heart of faith, you know that those events make our family gatherings even that much sweeter, that much more joyful, because the birth of Christ was the key to the joy of God who gives us salvation and the free gift of eternal life with Him and all who believe. You see, although there's so much in life that's joyful and which causes family members to travel, not just at Christmas, but at various times through the year, there's also a side of life that isn't so joyful. Since my family moved here almost 9 years ago, we've celebrated. We've celebrated the fact that two of our children have been married, and that certainly brought and continues to bring us joy as our family has grown in size and in depth. But in these past years, we've also experienced times of great sadness. Janet and I both had members of our family of origin who died and are now with the Lord. Some of those deaths were what we might say were expected due to age and or long-term illnesses. Others were shockingly unexpected and sudden. And all of those deaths changed us, changed our understanding of the world. But that too is related to what we're gathered here to reflect on tonight. Tonight, as we think about the birth of a baby, we also remember why he was born. His birth was planned long ago by our God. We heard about that just a couple of minutes ago. Sin, which brings with it death, was not a part of God's plan for us. And yet, though he knew Adam and Eve would rebel against him, even before they were created, he created us anyway. Such is his love and desire for us. Although he knew that he would become flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, so that he might suffer and die, he counted that a cost worth paying so that we might be brought home to him again. And my wife and I take great comfort in the knowledge that even though our loved ones are not with us physically this Christmas, we know where they are and that we will be together again, all because of the one whose birth we celebrate tonight. So I invite you to listen tonight and hear not just about angels, shepherds, and kings, but hear of the Savior who was born for you. He is Christ the Lord, He's calling you to remember that the story tonight is your story, the story of a home that awaits all his people of faith. Christmas is an interesting time. I wonder how many lonely people are at the end of their ropes this Christmas Eve. The Christmas season often brings a bit of distraction to the difficulties of life, but sooner or later, Christmas as a distraction just isn't enough. It gets cold out there in the real world. So we've come to this place to, at least in our hearts and minds, gaze into the warm scene in the stable. And don't be surprised if you get a bit choked up. It's an emotional moment. But why? Is there something there for you personally? I think we're all looking for a sign that says we really matter to someone. The angel told the shepherds that night in the fields outside Bethlehem, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." But what does that really mean? What kind of a sign is that? If the angel had said, lying in an offering plate, then we'd all know why we were wanted and what was expected. Pony up, break out the cash. Or if the sign were, you'll find some work clothes and a mop, then we'd all know what we should do. Roll up your sleeves and get busy. But that wasn't the sign. The sign was a baby in a manger. A manger feeds animals. It doesn't demand anything of you. It's a place you come to be fed. Christ the Lord in a feed box in the town called Bethlehem, which means house of bread. That was the sign. A child in a place whose very name states its person, its purpose, to serve the needs of others. You see, I think most people believe that when God says, "I love you," he actually means, "Shape up. Get your act together. If you expect anything from me, you better do what I want." But imagine you have a friend who breaks down on the highway. So you stop to pick him up and he says, "Okay, what do you want?" And you say, "Well, what are you talking about?" And he says, "No, I mean it. When you stopped for me, what were you really here for?" You'd rightly say that response is odd, maybe even a little off base, maybe a little crazy. But people do that to God all the time. They just can't believe that God would care about them just because he does. But that's what the sign of the child born in the manger says. At the manger, God is saying, "I love you, not for what you can give or bring to me. I just love you because I do." And that's good, because there really isn't anything we can bring to God anyway. The prophet Isaiah said that even the best we have to offer is still shabby and stained. And that's because we're sinners, and everything we have to offer is tainted by sin, by impure motives, by what's in it for me. It's true. That's the way we feel, even if we don't want to admit it. Professor Kurt Marquardt used to illustrate our sin and the need for repair with the image of a broken windshield in a junkyard. The windshield was still a windshield, but it was shattered and ruined, of no use to anyone. In the same way, fallen and broken by sin as we are, the image of God is still there. We're still recognizable for what we were originally intended, but we're ruined, useless. But the truth of it is that most of us don't even believe we're ruined. Many think you have to be a tyrant like Pilate or a sociopath like King Herod to wind up lost, or Hitler, Jeffrey Dahmer, Vladimir Putin, they're the ruined people, but not me. But God's word is clear. The psalmist writes, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. And God says through the Apostle Paul, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For those who have come tonight understanding that, tonight is truly a joyful event. It's a wonderful night for everyone as we anticipate the evening and the days ahead with our loved ones. But for those who are ruined and have a God-sized need, tonight is particularly joyful because of what the angel said. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, your Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. In another translation, those strips of cloth are called swaddling cloths or swaddling clothes. See, as soon as a baby was born, he or she would be washed, rubbed with oil, and wrapped in cloth strips. Not just for warmth, but to keep the limbs straight. And wrapped up in swaddling clothes, the child would look someone like a little mummy. And that's what the shepherds found. A small bundle of humanity, wrapped in strips of cloth, stiff, unable to move. And keep that image in mind as you think about and as you gaze into the manger. When you ask, what's there for me? How much do I really matter? Read the sign. This is God in the manger. This is Christ, the Lord, a bundle wrapped in strips of cloth, unable to move. It's a sign that you and I have been given, and a sign always points away from itself to something else. Some 33 years after Jesus was born, a man named Joseph from the town of Arimathea went to the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, and asked if he could take Jesus' body down from the cross and give him a proper burial. And then he took Jesus' body, wrapped it in linen cloths, and laid him, not in a manger, that was just the sign, but laid him in a tomb. Tonight, you and I look into a stable. We look in from the cold and we say, Jesus, I'm dying out here. But he says to us, no, look at me. I'm the one wearing the grave clothes. See, Jesus wore those grave clothes because you and I needed some way to leave the past behind. We needed somebody who would take our sin and carry it into the tomb and put it to death for us there. We needed somebody who would go out into the cold, somebody who would go out into the dark, somebody who would die, somebody who would be buried for you and me so that we might live and live forever. We needed something huge to be happy about. And so he came. He was wrapped up and laid in a manger as the most precious gift of the ages. But he didn't stay wrapped up. And that's the even greater gift. We read in John's gospel account that John outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. The linen cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' dead body were lying there in the place where he had been laid, swaddled. It was this event that the angels were looking toward when they came to the shepherds that night, telling them of good news of great joy for all people. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. That is the joyful news for sinful men and women and children everywhere. It's the song of the Savior who dies for people who haven't been good. It's the song of the Savior who comes back from the dead for people who are worth the world to him. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why we sing. It's why we worship. We've been given a sign, a child wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And this sign points us to the love of a God who won't let anything stand between us and him. Not sin, not devil, not even death. And that is why this is truly a blessed and merry Christmas. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And he who came into the world as a babe in Bethlehem was the Word of God made flesh, that dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. In him was life, and that life was the light of the world. The light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. This then is the message which we heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in God is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Those who abide in the light, those who love abide in the light, but those who hate abide in darkness. Therefore, beloved, let us love one another, not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Here is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to die on a cross. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Therefore, let us love one another and let our light shine. Lord Jesus, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. As the star brightened the eastern skies, making a way for kings, be light to the world, bearing Christ's light. And as the kings bore their gifts, be the gift of love to those you meet. As the common shepherds gave their worship, live in humility and simplicity, that the word of God may come to you and the needs of your neighbors be understood. As the animals shared their stable and manger and straw, find comfort and joy in the simple pleasures of life. As the angels sang their songs in the skies, so let your life be a glad song, telling of all of what God has done for you. For Christ has come and has come to us so that we may go and share him with all. The blessing of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be with you always.